John chapter 5. John chapter number 5. If you're there, say amen. You'll get there. John chapter number 5. I'm going to take you to Jerusalem. I'm going to take you near the sheep market in Jerusalem this morning. I'm going to take you to a very famous pool called the Pool of Bethesda. My title today, Sister Allison, is I Know a Man That Can.
Amen, preacher.
You know, we didn't have anybody to sing that song. Zach Broski used to sing it. These girls, thank you for taking your time to learn the song and sing it today. That's serving God. Amen. I appreciate that. John 5, are you there? I know a man that can. John chapter 5. And by the way, let me share this about Israel. I'm getting ahead of myself. On the 29th, on Sunday night, every one of you that are signing up, we're going to have a little meal for you in the multipurpose building. We're going to have our first meeting about Israel. And I have Israel on my mind, have this scene on my mind. You'll be going here to this scene. And that's on the 29th, and we have already signed a contract. We're on our way. We're going to be going to Israel. And we have one last day today to sign up if you want to. It costs us $32.98 per person. And we want you to go. If you can, be sure to sign up. You'll have all day to think about it, pray about it. Then we're going to have a meeting at the end of the month. All right, are you there? After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. We literally got to go out on those porches last time we went in 2017. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool. Now notice this, just picture it in your mind, and troubled the water, or put his hand in the water and the water moved. Just get that in your mind. You with me? And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water, notice just one person, whoever was first to get down there was able to be healed. Are y'all with me? Whew. Whosoever then was first after the troubling water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he saith unto him, now notice what Jesus said. I want to say this to you this morning. I'm going to ask you this question this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? Every one of you in the room. Wilt thou be made whole? Look what the impotent man said. The impotent man answered, I could use this as a text too. Answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. They jump in front of me. How many's ever been in a line at any kind of event and somebody rudely jumps in front of you? I remember back in the gas crisis days, some of y'all never know about that. I remember one time I was at the gas station up here in Tate Valley during that time. You remember when, long lines and everything. There was a woman that got out of the car. Somebody jumped up from her and smacked some man in the head. And I ain't never seen anything like it, but I do know you this. I stayed behind her car. Jesus said unto him, look what Jesus said. Rise up. Take up thy bed. And walk. And immediately the man was made whole. And took up his bed. And walked. on the same day was the Sabbath. Somebody help me preach. That sounds good, don't you? Jesus Christ in this section of scripture is going to show what I call the ultimate form of compassion. How many believe compassion a lot of times only comes from words? I want to tell you what, God don't want to just hear your words. God wants to see your deeds. Real compassion. He's at the sheep gate. Remember when I took you to the sheep gate? Then I took you over from the sheep gate over to the pool of Bethesda. Now I want to tell you who was there. The halt, the maimed, the blind, the outcast. By the way, before we got saved, we were outcasts. Ain't nobody had nothing for us. We were on our way to a devil's hell, outcasts. Religion couldn't help him. By the way, pure religion is helping the outcast. You know what he was doing, Chad? He was ministering to people who could not give anything back. We're living in a time today in our churches where, oh, we'll minister to you as long as you, first of all, give something first. My Jesus. Somebody help me preach. He had an unconditional love. Amen. He ministered to people that couldn't give anything back to him. Amen. I'll give you three things and I'll let you go home. Notice number one in verses 1-4, the chaotic scene. I don't know if you've ever been to a place where there was just devastation and sickness and pain. I remember when I went to Haiti back in probably 1980, 81, somewhere in there. Some men of the church went down there with me. We went down to that place in Haiti before the revolution, and I've never seen poverty like that and chaos like that in all my life. Right after Hurricane David had come in, there were people literally starving. They would dig holes up on the hillside and use the bathroom in the holes, and that water would come down and all that mire would come down into Port-au-Prince. It was a catastrophe. It was chaotic. This was a chaotic scene. You may have come to church this morning. A dear family in Rome County. Families all over this country. Their lives are chaotic. They need somebody. They need a man that can. Amen. Somebody that goes beyond formalism. Somebody that goes along or beyond the surface. Somebody that wants to go right where their need is. I'll give you two or three thoughts. First of all, it was a play, a scene of incredible sorrow. Could you imagine it? Could you imagine people, Jeff, laying there crippled, blind, palsy, laying there and knowing though they're there by that water, probably they'll never get in when that angel, because only one person gets it. Helpless. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure there's people in this room have come here today. Whether you're saved or unsaved, you feel so helpless in your situation. You feel so helpless in your chaos. You've came to church this morning with sorrow, but I want to give you some hope this morning. I know a man that can. Listen to this. Secondly, not only I see a chaotic scene of incredible sorrow, but I see a chaotic scene of insufficient solution. Look at all the people here. Let's just say all of you had sickness today. And here's the pool. And only one of you get it. And at a season, whenever it was, an angel would come down and he'd move the water. Masses as larger than this. Only one got in. actually no solution. Actually, no solution. Insufficient. One out of so many. I want you to know something this morning. I got a Savior who's not sufficient only for one. He's sufficient for everyone. Amen. Now I want you to notice the third thing. Chad, I feel some Holy Ghost here. The Holy Spirit's really speaking with me this morning. In this chaotic scene, I see a scene of incredible sorrow, a scene of insufficient solution, but I want you to know this, and I'm about ready to shout. A scene of an individual situation. This man's name was not even mentioned. So Jesus wasn't showing favoritism, Wayne. Not even mentioned. I want somebody to help me here. You ought to praise him. Aren't you get glad he cares about the individual? Amen. Let me make three statements. God loves the world. How many remember that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. God loves the world. God loves the church and gave himself for it. Amen. And all that's good. But I want all y'all to know something. God loves me. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. Think about it. Yes, he loves the world. But David, he loves you. Amen. Individually, he loves me. 7.4 billion people on this planet. And he knows me by name. Amen. He loves me. Oh, I know a man that can. See, it ain't nickels and noses with Jesus. It's heart. It's people that have needs. It's people who are broken. People that have no other solution but him. Secondly, I want you to notice in verse 5 and 6, a compassionate Savior. First, we see a chaotic scene, but look at 5 and 6. Do you have your Bibles? And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now come a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? His cry was, I have no man. In the next verse, I don't have anybody. I can't get in the front of the line. I have nobody. Ladies and gentlemen, when I had nobody, when I was all alone, I had a Savior. When I had nobody to help me, nobody to reach me, nobody to come into my mire, I'm glad I had a Savior. Let me show you three things under that real quickly. First of all, I want you to notice divine perception. Look at verse 6. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been in the case for a long time. There's some of you come in this morning, you're thinking, does he even pay attention to me? Jimmy, I've been praying for you. I know you've been through a lot. I want you to know something. I got a God that knows. Many of you going through chaos in your life. I know. I want to tell you, I got a God with divine perception. Ain't nobody introduced him to him. Ain't nobody told him all his problems. I want you to know something. This world could care less about your problems. You're just a number to them. But I want you to know I've got a Savior. that cares all about you. I know a man who can. He has divine perception.
Praise the Lord.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
I tell you how good God is. God took Philip out of a revival in Samaria, knowing that there was an Ethiopian eunuch going back to Ethiopia that needed Jesus. God took Paul when Paul was going to Asia and going to Macedonia. And Paul saw a dream he had in the nighttime of a man going like this. Help us! Come over here! That was the Macedonian vision. I want all y'all to know something. Because of that Macedonian vision, and Paul turned west, the gospel went to London, and then the gospel came to America, and you are saved today because Paul was obedient. One man came to a woman down by the riverside named Lydia and came there because God had divine perception. How about Peter? Up on a housetop and a big blanket came down of food that he wasn't allowed to eat. And the Lord said, rise up and eat it. For one man. I'm going to tell you what's really bothered me. We've got into what I call professional Christianity. It ain't about people anymore. It's about my agenda. It's about my little thing. I want you to know what we all do is insignificant to his big plan. I'll tell you, I got an agenda this morning. It's reaching one person at a time. Whether it's a high school football player, whether it's a grieving family, my whole desire is to reach out and help somebody. And I want to not only show you that he had divine perception, but secondly, he had dynamic power. See, it would be useless to reach out unless the person you're reaching to has power to do it. I want to tell you what he said when he gave the church the commission. All power gave to you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to whosoever believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want you to know something. I'm talking about a man who has perception and knows what you need, but also can take care of what you need. Somebody ought to praise him. And by the way, every one of you that's in ministry, every one of you that is Christian, you're an ambassador to Christ, and you have the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God, and we need to take it out and share it with others. But I want you to notice this, and I'm closing in a moment. Jesus had a deeper purpose here. You said, well, he healed him. Oh, he had a deeper purpose. The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Paul said, Jesus came and saved me, who was worst of sinners. Verse 8 and 9, he was made whole. You know who made him whole? Jesus made him whole. Physically. Look at verse 14. Same guy. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and saith unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more. That's the worst thing come on you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus met him at his physical need. But it wasn't his physical need Jesus was concerned about. The bigger picture was his spiritual need. Boy, I came by and they was doing the food pantry yesterday. We met people at their physical need. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a bigger purpose in it. And that is people can get saved. You help somebody where they have a need, they're most likely going to come and draw near you. And five of them got saved.
Amen.
We met, yes, their physical need. But Jesus had a larger purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, in our ministry, we've got all kinds of ministry. By the way, don't let the devil hinder any ministry you're in. You stay true to God. God's blessed this church like he's never blessed it since I've been here. It's big right now. And I want you to know something. He got a big purpose. See, it was a prelude to a deeper purpose. You remember when he met the lepers? The 10? Healed them all. But only one came back. And he got saved. Somebody say amen. Amen. Then I want to give you the last thing and I'm done. Whew. If you don't remember anything, remember this. Lastly, I see some confused sinners. First of all, look what the man said. Look what he said, Jeff. He said, I have no man. First of all, he had a misplaced trust. I want to look you right in your eyeball. There ain't nothing will take you to heaven but one thing. And that is trusting Jesus and his shed blood and what he done on Calvary's cross. Somebody say amen. There's so many people that think it's a man-made thing. St. John Smith's church. Say the deacon's church. It's Jesus' church. Amen. Place your faith in him. By the way, man can disappoint you. I have had a lot of people disappoint me. But I want all y'all to know something. He ain't never disappointed me. Let me give you a second thing. I'm closing. I see a man-made tradition. Oh, he done it on the Sabbath day. Everybody got mad.
Yes, sir.
Because it was a Sabbath day. I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. Religious tradition will take you to heaven. Sign a card, being baptized, taking Holy Communion, being confirmed when you're 8 days old. None of that. That's man-made religion. And that's tradition. You know what you need this morning? You need a fresh look at a Savior. Only, hey, you're here a confused sinner. I want you to know there's a Savior who wants to save you. Whew. I'm done. Lastly, I see a misunderstanding of truth. Would you please go over to John 5:39? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand how to be saved this morning. If you're there at John 5:39, say amen.
Amen.
That's weak. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Better. Are you there?
Amen.
Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. Oh, happy day that I heard faith come up by hearing. I heard about a dead Savior who rose from the grave, who loved me, and I saw myself a sinner. I was confused no longer. And I put my simple faith in him. And he met me at my need. This morning, if you're here lost, it's not in religious activity. It's not anything you can do. It's all about Jesus. This man said, oh, I want to get to the water, but I have no man. Ladies and gentlemen, there's somebody that took our place.
Amen.
And I know a man that can. I know a man that can save you this morning. I know a man that can take your marriage and turn it around. I know a man that can take your addiction and deliver you from it. I know a man that can take your heartache and lift you and help your grief and give you victory. I know a man that can.
Amen.
Bow your head with me. I'm finished. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around. And try not to move if you can. I know some people have to. How many of you right now know that you know that you know if you died today, if some accident happened, something happened, you know you'd go to heaven because you trusted Christ? Raise your hand high. Hold them up high. God bless you. How many right now couldn't raise your hand to say you're saved? Boy, but things have been happening around you have got your attention. And you don't want to die lost. That boy that died Friday night, thank God he was saved. He's going to heaven. He was ready. How many right now say, preacher, I'm not ready. I've been even a little confused about this thing. But I want, before I die, before the Lord comes, I want to know I'm going to heaven. Will you raise your hand right now and say, pray for me? Just raise them up. Nobody's looking but me. I promise I won't tell anybody. I see that hand. Thank you. They put it down. I see it. Somebody else. I'm not saved, preacher. But I want you to pray for me. How many Christians came into church with some sorrow and hurt in your life? And you just really don't have an answer. I see that hand. Raise your hand if you come in and you got chaos in your life. Raise it up. I see it. I see it. I see it. I'd like for you to come forward a moment. I want you to stand with me. I want to pray. I want to tell that dear person, I'd like for you to come forward and let us tell you how to be saved. I know you want to be. And if you want to get somebody to come with you, that's fine. But don't leave here lost. I know a man can save you. Stand with me. Everyone that raised their hand and want to be saved, you that have chaos in your life, you come, Father. Touch this invitation. That dear individual, Lord, I've seen him. I believe he wants you. I pray this morning be his morning, that he'll get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come?
Pass me not,
you slipped your hand up. Come on. I know we back here in a moment. I know we got a lot of visitors, and this is probably intimidating. It's probably intimidating to you. I don't want you to walk out of this room lost. And God can save you wherever your need is. If you're sitting in that seat or up here on the altar, he can save you if you ask him. Maybe you're here and just backward, scared, nervous about coming up in front of all these people. But you really don't want to leave here lost. And you'd like to go to heaven. And you'd like to even know what to pray and what to say. By the way, faith comes by hearing. And it's not your prayer as much as it is who you're praying to. But if you'd like to be saved right in your seat. I don't usually do this, but I can't let this pass, church. There's people here raising their hand that hadn't been here before. And I want to meet their need if I can. But I want to point them to somebody that meets that need. Here's what you can pray. Something like it. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. Now, if you don't mean that, don't say that. But I'm going to do it again. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. If you prayed that prayer just now and you meant it, will you raise your hand high so I can see your hand? If you, yes, I see you, son. Amen. I know you have a friend here at the church. Will you go to him? Will you go look up at me? Nobody's looking. Did you mean it? You did, didn't you? I know this is probably intimidating to you, and I know. Your friend that invited you to church, will you go to him and tell him you got saved this morning? And then if you will, see this big fella? Come up and talk to him and tell him you got saved. Bring your friend with you. Will you do that? Ladies and gentlemen, young man, just confess Christ. Somebody say amen. He gonna come up. He gonna deal with Chad. He's got a friend that brought him. And I know it's intimidating, but I'm not letting ritual or tradition stop me from giving an invitation. You said, well, I thought it was supposed to be like that. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus meets you where your need is. Amen. 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 How many, praise God, for somebody getting saved? Now be seated.